This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
There are three types of people in the world. You know what right. they are?
You know no, what they I are? Don't.
There's people that listen to our podcast on Spotify. There's people that listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts. And there's just the third party listeners, the extraterrestrials that just listen on God knows what.
How about the people that don't listen?
On God knows, huh?
How about the people that don't listen?
The whole world listens to us, okay? It's just dependent on what they're using. If you're a third party streamer, seek help. I don't know. But a dear message to the other groups of people, dear message to Spotify listeners, I need you guys to pause this episode and go to Apple Podcasts. If you got an Android, again, seek help. If you got an iPhone, open up your Apple Podcasts. Open up your browse page. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, open up your browse page. Scroll a little bit to the left on the front page. And tell me what you see. I'll wait.
Yeah, we'll wait a little bit. But like,
you know
I'll
what
give
they
you
see? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I'll give you a little hint. Okay. Because like, rumor has it, like when you swipe a little bit, it looks like two like, you know, Bangladeshi goofy gooberts are
That's
on
crazy.
The front page.
No, because we're two Bangladeshi goofy goobers.
Yeah. So, like, what are you talking about? I think it's us. I think we're on the front page of Apple Podcasts on the browse page.
No, that doesn't make sense. Like, we're just like two
AAPI
little podcasters.
AAPI month.
That doesn't make sense, though. Like, we're just like two
but
little.
But it
like,
makes sense. But it makes sense. Oh. You know what? Wow. You know what? Guess what? We've been recording episodes nonstop since July of 2021. And you know what it is now? May of 2023.
Oh.
We are almost 100 episodes in. We never slacked. Our community has gotten bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And you know, I just think that like we have a very strong like fan base, you know?
You think so?
And I think it's nice to have a little South Asian little feature on Apple Podcasts.
They
you know, about time. About time.
They wanted these brown faces on the for you guys that haven't seen it yet, please open up your Apple Podcast app. Go on your browse page. You will see both of our faces on the front page. In that crazy round of applause.
Yeah. Yeah. Boop,
boop, boop, boop. Round of applause.
Post on your story and tag us. And I hope you guys know that, like, us being so cocky is just, like, our, like, sarcasm. I think it's a big deal because it's very rare for brown kids like us to have, you know, something big like this in a creative field, because we're usually told that we can't do something if we're in the artistic field. We can't succeed in it because it's usually a white person's place. And we haven't really seen that representation growing up. And we've definitely had so much, you know, like we've had so many people around us doubt us and just not support us. So I think it's just such a nice, like, yes, like we're doing something right, you know?
We are. We do it for y'all.
Happy AAPI Heritage Month, y'all.
Happy Appy Month.
All right, anyway, we'll go back to our podcast. We are Difficult Dish, a podcast about different South Asian narratives, but you should know that considering you're listening to us. Right. I am Mahua.
My name is Mashnoon.
What are we talking about today, my fellow co-host?
Before we get into that, please slow down. Like you move so quickly in life.
Yes, it's been a while since
I've recorded. First off, you know, I did a little solo episode. I got some kind DMs from everybody. I really enjoyed doing that solo episode. If you haven't listened to it yet, if you only listen to this podcast for Mo, first off, I get it. But like, give me a chance. Like, give me a shot. I promise you, like, I'm not like, I have a name.
It was a good episode. It was a good episode.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good episode. You know, I
really
was in Amsterdam, so I haven't been recording, you know. But now I'm back from solo traveling, and I'm back to talk about AAPI Heritage Month.
How's your trip, though?
It's a good trip. You know, Amsterdam is a very good location if you want to solo travel, especially as a woman. It's very safe for the most part. I haven't experienced like anything, you know, crazy or unsafe. I felt good to walk at nighttime. Everyone knows how to speak English for the most part. And Dutch people are so nice. The weather was beautiful when I went. I visited the Tulip Festival.
Good waffles.
I even stayed at a hostel, and like the hostel vibes were great too, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, all around, I recommend it, you know, if you want to go on a little Europe trip.
Good. Yeah, good waffles. Good
Stroop
bikes.
Waffles. Yeah.
Strooper waffles.
No, Stroop waffles.
Same thing.
So today we are talking about AAPI Heritage Month. A lot of people might know it as APHM. So AAPI stands for Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. APHM stands for Asian Pacific Heritage Month. Yes. So essentially, this whole month of May, we are celebrating Asian culture. We are celebrating Pacific culture, Native culture, all this and that. And it's a beautiful month to, you know, celebrate and really highlight a lot of these cultures that are kind of pushed under the rug. It's similar to, you know, having a whole month dedicated to Black History Month, where there's a whole like curriculum based on Black history. And for, you know, AAPI month, we have like a whole month dedicated to Asian curriculum, and all these brands reach out to Asian people to highlight their stories and whatever it is. So it's really a great month to, you know, highlight us for the first time ever. And I feel like it's kind of a new phenomenon, because growing up, honestly, I can't remember. I don't know about you, but like,
yeah, I was about to say,
I don't remember.
That.
I don't really remember like celebrating it. Do you remember that?
No, honestly, I think the first time I heard of it was like, I think I've heard the term sometime in college, or I don't even remember in high school. I think college I did, but I remember it was during like COVID, I think like 2020, 2021.
Yeah, COVID.
Where I think that's when a lot of brands started celebrating it, like a lot of like social media brands, and you would like see more posts about it saying happy API month, whatever. But like, I literally don't remember in school this ever being brought up. And I know it's been around for a couple decades. Like, it's not a new thing. I think it's brand new in phenomenon and just popularity. But no, man, I don't remember it being a thing at all during high school. Like obviously, Black History Month is in February. I know Hispanic Heritage Month is September. I think it starts like mid-September. And I always knew those growing up. And I think I always wondered where the Asian part was. I guess it was always a thing. But like, and maybe other communities, other cities in the country celebrated more than I did. Maybe it wasn't in my school because we just didn't have that many Asians. But no, man, I really didn't see it at all until like,
you know, what's so interesting? Ago. Like, the only thing that I really remember growing up about learning about Asian culture and like Asian history is Genghis Khan.
Oh yeah,
Genghis that's Khan, a wild Mr. boy. Mr. Gandhi.
That's a wild boys.
That was it. I only remember Genghis Khan because people would call me that, because my last name is Khan too. I don't know like what I deserve to like why I deserve that, but like, that's
a crazy comparison.
That's all I remember. I feel like I don't know really what it's like now.
Like in school.
Yeah. Even me, when I was a teacher, I don't really remember exactly what I taught during the month. Really? And I'm sure I highlighted Asian culture from different aspects a lot. But I don't know. I don't really know what the curriculum's like now.
True. Well, what are your general opinions about the month, about like API month? I know that, you know, we don't have too much like history with celebrating the month. I know, again, like it's kind of like a new thing, but I have some thoughts and just some like general ideas about it. But like, what do you think about API month?
Well, it's interesting that you said that it like it got a little bit more popularized around COVID, because I didn't even realize just like the truth behind that, because obviously when the pandemic started, a lot of Asian people, specifically East Asian people, started getting a lot of unfair backlash and, you know, racist comments and just violent attacks because the whole, they were blamed stop for Asian pandemic.
Hate. Sorry to cut you off. Like the whole Stop Asian Hate, like mm-hmm. movement, and just like that happened. That started happening around 2020, and I think a lot of it is tied into, you know, like the origins of COVID-19 come from China, and literally the whole world like hated Asians because they thought Asians created the like. They mm-hmm. made this whole thing. And I remember, like, remember when Trump, like, was saying, like, oh, like, he went on, like, a bunch of, like, media tours. He was like, oh, the Chinese virus. Which, like,
yeah
it's true. But, like, the way that he says it and the way he delivers that message, I think antagonized a lot of Asians during the COVID time. And I'm sure a lot of people are still feeling that, you know? And, like, who knows what mm-hmm. it's like on that side of the world. But yeah, man, I think just, like, the conception of COVID really started so much both Asian hate, and with the Asian hate came like more representation for Asians and like Asian, like stopping Asian violence, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think as a way to counteract that hate, a lot of people started representing East Asians more. A lot of brands started working with East mm-hmm. Asians more to mm-hmm. kind of, you know, like give back, like, oh, this is my way of showing that you are worth it, you know, which is great yeah. because East Asians, like, they deserve all of the hype. They deserve all of this representation because a lot of them weren't represented in a good way in the Americas for a really long time. And so they deserve it. But I think my thoughts on celebrating Asian culture like this, it feels like as a South Asian person, it kind of takes us out of the narrative. Like, as South, I feel like I haven't really seen West Asians, South Asians
mm-hmm.
really be represented. Even, like, Pacific Islanders, like, I haven't really seen mm-hmm. any of them get represented. I feel like if you do click on the AAPI hashtag on TikTok or Instagram or any social media, really, you just see an overflow of just, like, East Asian, apparent, like, visible-looking creators, right? And again, they deserve that. But I think us being left out of it, or like us not really being included in, you know, visibly, just makes it seem like we're not Asian enough to like fit in. And like it makes it seem like we don't face similar struggles. And it, you know, it just makes us feel like very alien. Mm. And I think us being left out of the narrative for the most part, you know, we're not like invited to a lot of things. We're also not really taught in the curriculum. Our history is kind of erased. You know, some companies don't really want to work with us. And even if they do, it's great. But it's like, where is that energy the rest of the year? You know, it feels like only 1 month we're able to be ourselves. But the rest of the year, we have to look whitewashed, or we have to look a certain way for mm-hmm. us to be like attractive enough or valuable enough for people to make business with us. I don't know, it just seems like very weird in America.
I get what you're saying, and I agree, but I think it gets like, at the end of the day, we are just one person, and we don't have access to the whole plethora of the internet and seeing what every single website is posting. So I don't want to say that even if South Asians are underrepresented, I'm sure there are countless media platforms that do their due diligence in showcasing us, like, again, Apple. Like, we for API month, like, we're up there for a week, and like, we're the only one that's up there right now, you know? Like, there aren't like East Asian faces that are on that page.
I also got featured on TikTok Business for AAPI month, and they featured a lot of like small businesses, and you know, they had a wide variety of Asian businesses and not just like East Asian. So I really appreciated that. So I'm not going to say that, you know, it's like this cross, like everywhere. I'm not going to say that there hasn't been more representation now, because I definitely think that it's gotten a lot better with, you know, bringing in the diverse cultures in Asia and just making us feel more included. But I think one of the biggest like unsettling feelings is just like, not feeling Asian enough to be a part of anything, really. I feel like we're always just left out of things because we don't really fit in any crowd. And if we are Asian, we're just kind of like clumped together with India, you know?
I think I have a couple thoughts that I'd like to share about API month. One being kind of what you said. I think the thing with API month is when you talk about Asians, there's a billion people you're talking, over a billion people that you're talking about.
Right.
That you're talking about many, many, many different cultures, talking about many different backgrounds of people. And like calling it Asian Heritage Month really does like an injustice of like highlighting all the, because you can't highlight every single Asian person, because yeah, you got East Asia, you got Southeast Asia, you got South Asia, you got mm-hmm. West Asia, the Arabs. And you know, I know that like I was reading something earlier today that said like a lot of Arabic culture, or like a lot of Arabs don't like, they don't feel the urge to celebrate themselves during Asian American like Heritage Month, because like they don't even know if they're considered Asian. Like they're considered Middle Eastern, but like it's technically West Asia. And it's like there's so many like nuances that it gets hard trying to decipher what exactly to celebrate and what exactly to showcase in this month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, are we asking too much for a Middle Eastern Heritage Month? I don't know. Like, so, you know, I did some research, and I know that like the preconception of API month came from, you know, a couple decades ago. It was Jimmy Carter that like initially made it to celebrate
Jimmy Carter.
Like, shout
Love
out Mr.
Jimmy
Carter.
Carter.
He initially created it to commemorate the first Japanese immigrant that immigrated to America. It was like in the 1800s, but he came in the month of May, so to celebrate that. And it was initially made to celebrate Chinese and Japanese cultures and immigrants. So that's where it started. And then I believe in the 90s, whoever was president or like in Congress, whatever, made it into a whole week instead of like made it into a whole month instead of a week. And then they really started expanding into, you know, apart from Chinese and Japanese, you have Korean, Vietnamese, Indian, blah blah. But I think it gets really tricky, because it's really important to remember that all subsets of Asian people have a different experience in America and a different experience in coming to label themselves as an Asian American. You know, mm-hmm. the journey of a Japanese immigrant to America and a Bangladeshi immigrant to America, and what their journey is to labeling them and becoming Asian American, it's two completely different journeys. But when you celebrate Asian American Heritage Month, you're grouping all these people together. And it's a constant conversation of like, you know, you can't service everybody. Like, you have Hispanic Heritage Month, you can't make Argentinian Heritage Month, Colombian Heritage Month. So like, there has to be some grouping, or does there? I don't know. But I think it gets quite complex when it comes to Asia, because, you know, I think, you know, and going into like another point I want to make, the fact that it's labeled Heritage Month instead of History Month, what's your opinion on that? You know, because you have Black History Month, but you have Asian Heritage Month, Hispanic Heritage Month. Why do you feel like, you know, do you think that's a problem that's not labeled Asian History Month?
That's so interesting. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
What's the difference in your eyes?
Well, you have Black history because Black people have a very long history in America. Mm-hmm. But Asians don't. Asians have a couple decades of history in America. Different types of Asians, you know. Indians don't have as long of a history as the Japanese or Chinese may. Because they came earlier in the 1900s. I think Indians started coming in like the mid 1900s. So I think that's why they've come to name it Heritage Month, to be more of like a celebratory month of the actual culture of Asia instead of really the history of Asia. And even though we don't have extensive history, I personally think that it's come to a point where there should be conversation in changing it to Asian History Month, because I think the controversy with labeling it Heritage Month is you're not taking into account the history of Asian Americans in this country. Mm-hmm. You know, because when this month comes along, you said it, we celebrate yoga. We celebrate spices. We celebrate creators putting their faces on brands, which is amazing and necessary. But we're not celebrating, like, we're not recognizing the history of Asian violence in this country. We're not recognizing the Asian immigrant labor force in this country. Like, that's something that, we're not talking about in this. We're not talking about how literally the world runs because of Asian labor. Like, all of your products run because of Asian labor. And a lot of them are American-based companies that do all of their labor overseas in these Asian countries because they could pay them a bunch less. You know, like, that isn't being commemorated. And that isn't being recognized. And I think that's not being recognized because we label this Heritage Month. And we label it Heritage Month because there isn't extensive history, but I think there is now. I think we've come to a certain amount of time where, like, you have to start really commemorating the way that that the Japanese were treated in this country when they first came in. You know, like, people forget that the Japanese were treated like absolute garbage when they came into this country.
Yeah.
Like, we don't commemorate, like, the way that Bengali people still bust their ass in Dunkin' Donuts and in taxis to make sure that, like, New York City is running and, like, white people are getting their coffee in the morning and tourists are getting their rides from the airport. Like, we're not honoring these things. We're celebrating the spices. We're celebrating yoga. We're celebrating, you know, like, whatever. But it's like, we really have to do the other parts as well. And yeah, we should be doing these things year long, of course, but it's like, and I would never, like, compare Asian history to Black history,
right?
But when you look at Black History Month, we recognize Martin Luther King. We recognize different figures because of the work that they've done and the history that they've created for their culture. And sure, we don't necessarily have the equivalent of Martin Luther King who's put in that work in America, but we still have the duty to honor the people that are keeping, like, the world rotating, and a lot of them are Asian.
And you know what's so interesting? A lot of people have complained, like, especially a lot of young kids have, you know, grown up with a lot of trauma after, like, a lot of young, like, Black kids after being a part of Black History Month, because usually the curriculum for Black History Month, a lot of teachers and educators, they teach their kids about just, like, the trauma and the slavery of Black History Month and just, like, the horror behind it. And maybe, like, the top 2-3, like, key people, like Martin Luther King and, like, Malcolm X. But that's really it. They don't really talk to them about the celebrations and, like, all the beautiful, like, contributions that they brought to America, things like that. Whereas for Asian American, for AAPI Heritage Month, I feel like we've celebrated, like, Asian culture, but we haven't talked about all of the, you know, the history behind it. So I feel like it's kind of, like, the opposite. And, you know, both months, all months that are celebrating culture and talking about the heritage and history should still have a balance of both things, where they celebrate the culture while also talking about, you know, how much they've impacted the country or the world in such a beautiful way. Because, like, I don't know, I feel like I've never really had any long-lasting like, information from Asian American Pacific Islander Month where, like, I feel proud of my culture, where I feel proud of, like, my parents' sacrifices and, you know, the different jobs that they have. So it's just very interesting how, like, now I'm seeing it as an adult and I'm seeing how much bigger it is in this society, how it's just so much more represented after COVID. But I don't know. Like, I just feel like there has to be so much more work done, even though obviously we've made so much progress with what it is now.
Yeah, and I think that it will get a lot better. You know, I think the narrative behind Black History Month has also changed over time. I think, you know, because something that we don't, like, and I think about this a lot, something that we literally do not take into account is, like, the way that maybe, like, the 10-year-old Black kid was feeling when they were, like going through, like, their textbook of, like, learning about, like, Black history. Like, that must be traumatizing. And, like, us as Asian people, like, yeah, like, we've seen stuff in, like, World War II, but not to, like, the depth and extremity that, like, black kids had learning about slavery. That must have affected a lot of them, you know? And,
right.
But I think over time, it's come to a place where, like, I know that this past Black History Month, they did both commemorate the history and, you know, honor today, honor hip-hop culture, honor black creators, black actors, everything. But I think for Asian culture, we do a lot of celebrating. You know, tea comes from Asia. Like, spices come from, like, spices, most popular spice in the world come from Asia, like, come from India. Like, people weren't spicing their food until they found spices during the spice trade. Like, we celebrate a lot of the culture, but, like, we really have to do more work and, like, really, really, like, again, what I said with, like, the Bengali people, bro, like, Bengali people, like, brown people bust their ass in taxis, in fast food restaurants, around, like, major cities. Like, Japanese people all, like, a lot of East Asian people are busting in, like, factories, like, Nike factories, every clothing factory. Obviously, Bangladesh in the garment factory is absolutely crazy. Like, and like, immigrant, there's so much that we don't talk about that, like, if there is a time to talk about it, it is this month, you know? So, like, if you are celebrating the culture, please keep going, but, like, also understand the history. Like, you need to understand, you need to know, like, you need to know the history. Like, that's not, like, an opinion. Like, that's not a choice. Like, if you listening are Indian and you don't know much about your history, about where in India your parents come from, whether you're Gujarati or Telugu, like, learn more about what the process has been for, like, your parents and just your people immigrating to America. Like learn more. Because, like, this is the time where, like, yeah, we're going to eat the food. We're going to go to restaurants. We're going to, you know, share whatever on our story. But, like, really have a good understanding about what your people's history is in this country. And that'll give you more love for your culture than any repost on your story, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, around this time, like, in this month, obviously a lot of these Asian businesses get highlighted more. A lot of Asian people in general get highlighted more, as they should. But I just wish that same energy was there, like, year-round. Because it's no, like, it's no made-up thing that Asian people and ethnic people, people of color in general, have to work, like, 10 times harder than white people to get to where they want to be. Because it's statistically true that we just have to do so much more than our white counterparts to just make a dent. Because usually we're looked over, and usually the white person is getting picked even if they're doing something bare minimum or mediocre. And, you know, I see so many things where it's like, oh, small, like, support small businesses, shop small, support, like, your Asian American business, support your black business, which is great. But I need to see that, like, every year. And I just, like, can't help but think about how these months are used just to, like, further the consumerism in America, where these brands are kind of just, like, profiting off of, like, ethnic features and Asian people and black people, and they are having this, like, guise of representation, which is great. Representation is always needed. But, like, if 11 months out of the 12 you still have all white people, and you just have a month full of Asian people or a month full of black people, and that's it, like, what is it that you're actually doing, you know? Like, I feel like a lot of the times, I'm talking specifically, like, business related and, like, brands related, a lot of the times our features and our culture and our background is used as a way to profit and as a way to just, like, be fetishized.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the rest of the year, it's just, like, we're pushed under the rug, you know? So it's like, why are we so disposable to people after the month is over?
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
It's just so crazy, you know? It's like, this is your month, you're Asian, you can have all these business things, but if you're Bangladeshi, you're not Asian enough, so not really. But after this month is over, we don't really care about you anymore.
Yeah.
It's just so wild.
When this month comes, like, again, like, we're going to celebrate spices and, like, chai. But it's like, we do not care that you're celebrating these things that, like, we know are great. Like, we literally don't care. And, like, white people are like, yeah, it's chai and biryani. It's like, we literally don't give a shit that that's what you're choosing to highlight for this month.
You know what I've been loving, though? So, I've been, like, on a new, like, yoga, you know, era in my life.
Right.
And a lot of these instructors, you know, I haven't really had, like, any Indian yoga instructors, actually. I haven't had any.
Really?
But, like, all these instructors, for the most part, they're white. Okay. And they have to go through, like, a certain training and have classes to learn yoga and be an instructor.
Hope so.
And a lot of them, like, give like, the credit and the appreciation to the traditional, you know, start of yoga. And they, like, talk about where it originated from. They say, like, you know, like, namaste. Like, they don't say it in, like, a, I'm white, namaste. You know, they don't say it in, like, a weird way. They actually say it with, like, intention.
Nice.
And it's just so nice that, you know, there are things like that. But with that being said, we are also more than just, like, the chai and the yoga and the namaste, you know?
Yeah, man, like, something that, like, I know that we want to bring up is just, like, man, like, where are, like, the Bengalis? You know, like, we see, in the pie of API month, like, South Asians got, like, a small piece of it. And then in that small piece, the majority piece is Indians. Which, like, all right, y'all got a lot of people. Y'all got, like, over a billion people. A lot of Indians. But it's like,
you know what's so wild? You know what's so crazy? Because we talked about this in, like, our cultural appreciation versus appropriation episode. It's the fact that America and the world profits so much off of our culture, from music to cha to, like, spices to Coachella. But we are never, for the most part, credited or invited to any of these events. Like, think about how this Coachella, 2023's Coachella, we had Diljit, the first Punjabi singer,
right,
like, full Punjabi set. Then we had Jai Wolf.
Tore it
we
down.
We had
Jai Paul.
Jai Paul.
First performance in a decade.
We had so many South Asian specifically artists,
right?
And I did not see a single South Asian person get invited to any of these,
where they,
like,
at?
Houses and brands.
Where are they at?
Coachella is, like, the foundation of Coachella was based off of, like, I would say, like, Vanessa Hudgens, like, her style back in, like, 2014-15, like, very boho chic, like, the deeps on your head, like, the jewelry on your faces and things like that. And I think Coachella has that type of, you know, that type of stereotype. And it's so South Asian inspired. And I have not seen, like, anyone from our region get invited. It's crazy. That's what I'm saying. It's not even related to just, like, brands. It's not even related to just, like, curriculum. Like, these things, like, spill out into so much of our society, into just beyond business and culture. It spills out into everything. It just makes us feel like, oh, our background and culture is just used as a profit for America, but we are actually, like, not, they don't care about us, you know? They don't care about us. We're invisible.
Yeah,
that's my two cents, you know?
Yeah, I just
want to see some more.
She just
South
wants
Asians.
Coachella, if you're listening, Labyrinth Ave, hit her up. Give her a plus one, too.
No, I'm saying, like, the fact that these Arab people don't even feel like they're Asian enough, or, like, Asian in general, because there haven't been, like, anyone with, like, a hijab be represented for AAPI month, you know? It's usually just, like, people that seemingly look East Asian, like the stereotypical East Asian person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's such an inclusive month, but also so exclusive.
Sometimes I feel like
we're asking
for a lot, though. Huh?
Sorry, Mashun, you're not Asian enough.
But no, but like I'm from like Bangladesh.
It's like, you can't get in the club.
No, but like it's like I'm like my country is in Asia, you know, like.
No.
All right. On that note, give me 5 Asian American creators that you would like to highlight. Creators, brands, whatever. I want 5. Give me 5. A good variation, diversity. Give me a little bit of this, a little bit of that. All right. Give me something.
Yeah. I also just posted like one of my favorite. You're in it. I don't know why you're like, yeah. Oh yeah. Now suddenly my favorite 5 books by Asian authors.
Yeah.
Now suddenly he cares.
Yeah.
And I put in, you know, like East Asian. I put in South Asian. I put in everything.
Good.
West Asian, the Kurds. But anyway, people who deserve some more hype. Goofy Beauty. South Asian
shout out beauty to them.
Makeup brand.
Yes, sir.
We love Priyanka. Get those brown who created tones in.
Yeah.
Goofy Beauty.
Yeah, we like that tonage.
They're in Sephora. We love Sephora. Pigmented shout shades for brown people. It's really not that hard to give some range in makeup.
Like, it's really not. Like, I promise it's really you it's not.
I'm sorry to, like, sub any brand that doesn't do it, but, like,
I love it's the brands 2023. That, like, I love the brands that show, like, 50 shades of, like, pink and then, like, 3 of black.
Yeah, not even black, just, like, a little tan.
Yeah, sorry. And then, like, 1 just, like, really, really dark black. And, like, that's yeah, all like, they have. Really.
Right. You know what's so crazy about a makeup story? Like, back in the day in high school, like, I couldn't find any shade that matched my skin tone. And if it did, it didn't match my undertone. And it was just, like, a whole thing. Also, back then, you know, like, colorism. So, I thought it was prettier to be whiter. So, I would literally take, like, this foundation / like, mousse type of consistency and I would like put it kind of like on my face, and then I would take water and just like rub it throughout my face so it would kind of like blend in with my skin tone because it would dilute it. And then, you know, like my friends would be like, oh my god, like what's your like makeup routine, like it looks so dewy, but really it was just me mixing water with foundation trying to get it to my actual skin tone. Yeah. Such a crazy day back then. You guys are so lucky now that you have representation and like tones.
Yeah.
Anyway, second person that should be highlighted. You know, I love Miss Nabila.
Okay.
She's such a good representation of Bangladeshi people and
a
hardworking, you know, child of immigrants.
Very cute daughter.
So inspiring. Nice. Very cute daughter. Yeah. All right, you go and I'll think.
All right, fine. I'll start naming some. First person I want to shout out is actually somebody that I literally discovered today. This Pakistani DJ who just did a Boiler Room with Skrillex.
Wow.
So crazy. Based out of London. He's so fire. I'm giving him a shout out. His name is DJ I Had a Dream.
Yeah.
Funny name. You know, like, yeah. I had a dream, but, like, his name is Ahad. So, it's he made I Had a Dream. Fire, I Had a Dream X on Instagram. Fire Pakistani DJ. Give him a shout out. Number 2, I'm shouting out Nepal. I love the country of Nepal. I want to go so bad. I think Nepal has the most beautiful geography in the world. Nepali mountains are so beautiful. I had so Nepali pretty. Food in New York City. Damn, I forgot the name of that place. I'll think of it. There's this restaurant that's in Lower East Side, Nepali food. Amazing. I'm going to think of their name.
You know who's a Nepali owner of a small business in New York
tell
City?
Me. Tell me. I know, but
Pio
like, tell
Chai.
Me.
Pio Chai.
Shout out to them.
If you guys haven't heard of Pio Chai, think of South Asian plus Taiwanese boba. So we got 2 Asian countries.
Wow, nice.
With Pakistani / Nepali owners.
Yeah.
Think about South Asian flavors mixed in with boba. So think of like Malai Kulfi boba.
Good.
Think of like
too good.
Ruafsa flavor boba. Think of good. Like mango kulfi.
No.
That's a good one, can't. Right?
I can't.
You know who else we love?
Who else do we love?
Hasan Minhaj.
Wow. Shout out to him. Nice, you know, billboard face for like South Asia. You know, like he's a good, yeah, good one.
Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day in high school, maybe just because like it was a few years ago and we didn't have as much representation, I always thought like, oh, you know, these jobs, since there aren't that many brown people in it, it's just not made for us, you know? But truth is, like, as the years have gone on, I've found more people in the brown community that are comedians, that have businesses, that are artists and things like that are usually not like made for people like us. And truth is, like, I had to kind of like seek it out myself, because I think back then, obviously, we didn't have enough representation. But I also just thought like, OK, there's just no one out there, so I'm not going to look for any. But now there are just so many, and like there's so many people to support. So don't feel like there isn't anyone of that kind or of your kind, you know?
There's you will find everything nowadays. Like, and if even if there isn't a lot, like there's somebody, and like having at least one person is like a lot of hope. Like recently I came across a Bangladeshi heavyweight MMA fighter from London.
Oh, really?
He's getting really popular. He's like 5-0 right now. Hold on, give me 1 second. I'm a highlight.
I think I saw it actually.
Yeah, his name is Shah Kamali, Bangladeshi heavyweight MMA fighter from London. So fire. He's killing it. See, like, you're not gonna find a lot, but like the fact that you got a couple should be more than enough. Like, for me, like, there are not a lot of male Bangladeshi poets. Like, I cannot name one other male Bangladeshi poet in America. I'm sure there is some. If you're listening, you're a male Bangladeshi poet, hit me up. We'll be best friends. There's not a lot, but as long as there's something, man, like, that's something to get really, really happy for.
Mm-hmm. I'm about to speed around through some beautiful female founders, business owners, South Asian descent.
Yeah, do it. Yeah.
We got Shiza. Women. Pakistani founded Our Place, as in like the beautiful Our Place pans. Nice. And she's also the co-founder of Malala Fund, which I didn't know.
Oh.
Yeah. We also got Deepika. She is the founder of the makeup brand Live Tinted. Beautiful makeup brand, started out with sunscreen, no white cast on brown skin. We love when brown women take up space and create companies like that for problems that we've always had. Mm-hmm. We got Bile, that I know you met for the first time. She is the founder of ClassPass.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to her. She came to my poetry event.
Yeah. I actually didn't know that either, and I'm such a big ClassPass user. Mm. Let's see if I can find someone else. Oh, yeah. My close friend, Aria, who's the founder of My Soli Foundation. Superstar.
We gotta get
saving the whole world. She's literally trying to end child marriage in Bangladesh with her foundation, and it's amazing. She's amazing. There are so many amazing South Asian
women. Should we keep going?
And
we got
people just killing the game.
We got a bunch.
It's crazy. Yeah, we have so many.
I want to shout out Rini Kareem, Bangladeshi chef from Next Level Chef Season 2, based out of New York. Makes amazing food. I stare at her reels where she's cooking all this delicious ass stuff. She just had a pop-up in New York that she killed. Great, man. There's a lot of us. We keep going forever.
There's so many. We should do a whole episode on just like our love for these South Asian people.
Yeah. All right, moving on. As you guys know, we let you guys know about our upcoming topics on our
Instagram. It's called
@difficultish, and you should follow us on our Instagram @difficultish, and follow us on our TikTok
@difficultish podcast.
And we got some responses, and we're gonna go through them.
Well, what did we ask on our story first?
On our Instagram, we just asked you, what's your opinion on API month? Do you feel represented? Do you feel represented? Do you feel represented at work, in your friend group? If you're friends with a bunch of Emilys and Amandas, are they, you know?
Wow.
Assalamu alaikum. Are they, you know, are they like greeting you good?
They just
like,
start saying that. They just saying that for the month.
And just like, what do you wish to see more of in this month? So we got a lot of responses, and I'll be honest, about a third of them are just saying we wish we saw more South Asian / Desi people.
Well, that's great because now you have a whole episode on it.
Right. But you know what's crazy? Like, in England, when you say somebody's Asian, like, you automatically think, like, in like they're South Asian.
Really?
Did you know that?
Because
is
that normalized there? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's only America where, like, you say, like, oh, like, this person's Asian, like, the first thing you think of is East Asian. But in England, all of our London listeners can back me up. When you say that's an Asian restaurant, you automatically think Indian.
Mm.
You know, so... Very interesting. It's just
because
America.
They have more of a South Asian population there.
I think South Asia just has a bigger influence on India compared to East Asia.
In London.
In England.
In England, yeah.
Yeah. But still, I'm not saying that we should think of like South Asian people first. Like, I'm not saying it should be like number one, number two, number three. But it's like, let's cut out the word Asian. You know what I hate? I hate when, like, yeah, like, I'm feeling Asian food. You know that one person? I want some Asian food.
Yeah, like, what is that?
But you know that they're thinking about, like,
about Chinese
fried
food.
Rice and, like,
yeah, exactly.
And, like, orange chicken.
Wow.
But it's like, shit, like, yo, come on. Come on. There's so many different kinds. Should I name some? Right.
Go ahead.
Fushka.
We got some. Fushka, we got momos.
You want some goddamn some hummus? Like, what do you want? Should I keep going? Nah, I'll chill.
It took him so long to think of two. All right.
Nah, I'm just the gears are grinding so much. I like, you know, don't get me started. I love food, you know. Baba ganoush, right? Like, I keep going.
All right, we're done. Like, we're done with that.
Like, I really keep going. You know, like ramen. All right, let me stop. So someone said, it's tricky. There is representation, but it's not the most accurate. Like Bridgerton. How you feel about Bridgerton?
Interesting. I didn't watch it.
Not the most. Oh, I thought you watched it. Never mind.
No, I think a lot of people loved Bridgerton so much because it showed brown people. Like, it brought us to the forefront, but it didn't show us as the stereotypical representation that we're so used to. Like, us being nerdy, us being unattractive, us being, like, smelly and hair, like, you know, things like that. It showed women being dark skinned and brown being the main characters, but their culture not being like the biggest thing about them, just you know, it's just like a part of them. And they showed like beautiful parts of our culture, like jhumkas and like them falling in love and things like that. So I'm not sure how that's not like an accurate representation. I feel like obviously every single ethnicity or culture or background has good and bad parts of it. Obviously, there are parts of the culture where stereotypes stem from. Like, there's some truth to stereotypes because it stems from something maybe generations ago. Like, it starts from somewhere, but that doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean it defines that culture. But I don't think that all of our media representation should have just those negative stereotypes, because then it makes us look so bad.
Yeah, I agree. I think, again, like, it gets tricky because, like, you know, you don't want to showcase like a whitewashed brown person, but you also don't want to showcase like a musty, smelly brown person, you know? And like, there's a plethora of different characters you could have in between. But it's like, I feel like whatever you showcase, there's going to be a little bit of backlash, because there's people that, like you said, like, there are stereotypes for brown people. But like, those stereotypes, not the full demonstration of the stereotype is true, but like, it stems from something that is true. Like, brown people, like, having like a doctor as a brown person. Like, that's not that, if that's a stereotype, sure. But it's like, there's a lot of brown doctors, you know, so...
Mm-hmm.
I think it gets tricky. I don't know nothing about Bridgerton. I just know it's some that a lot of y'all love. I ain't doing none of that.
But I think it got a lot of praise for a reason. A lot of
people loved it, though, right?
Yeah, it got a lot of praise for a reason because we just haven't seen positive forms of representation like that ever, you know?
I got one more. This one's a little silly. Is it really representation if they're wearing their outside shoes in the house and on the bed? As in, you know, like, what about all these, like, little things? Like, so many people are like, again, like, worry about the tea and the spices. But it's like, you know, like, go up to, like, your Muslim friend and say salam alaikum. You know, like, come to your Indian friend and, like, tell them something that you learned about India, like, the last night. Because you were just, like, interested. Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, like, if you're so used to just eating, like, Chinese food and Indian food. Because I've realized that, like, those are the two biggest, you know, American cultural places of food for most people. They either try Chinese or Indian. Try something new, you know? Try something that you haven't tried before, like Tibetan or like Nepali Malaysian. Just so many, there's so many different cultures that have such beautiful foods that are maybe similar to one another, but that doesn't mean like Indian food represents the entirety of South Asia. It doesn't mean Chinese food represents the whole of like East Asia. Just try something different, you know?
A lot of y'all be talking about, oh, I love Indian food. You had butter chicken and garlic naan, okay? I hate to break this
to you. Yeah, that's all.
Like, I really hate to break this to you. Like, I really do. There's more than butter chicken and naan. I said it.
Yeah.
There's more.
A good one. You know, so, that's a good one. All right. So as you guys know, before we end our episodes, we give a little 10-second advice.
Yeah, we do.
I don't know how we thought of that. I don't know why we started that from like episode one. But like, it's a thing. It's a little tradition. We just said it and now it's been a thing. You know, it feels incomplete if we don't. What's a 10-seconder?
Some that I just got that, you know, if you're someone who has a lot to do in the day, but you don't like making schedules or like you don't like journaling for whatever reason, because I'm one of those, not that I don't like it, I just forget. Buy a desk size dry erase whiteboard where you could just write your daily schedule and you just wipe it away. Because I think it gets hard for me for papers because like I have to like turn the page, I have to like erase, I have to take out a piece of paper, whatever.
All right, too much. It's really not that big of a deal.
but it is. You wouldn't get it, okay? You clean freak. Get a dry erase whiteboard, write down your daily schedules. Wipe it off, it's gone. Day done.
That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah.
I doubt he's going to even do all that. Anyway.
Watch me.
Mine is, since we're on this topic of breaking boundaries and making an imprint as a Asian American in a world where you were taught not to.
Right.
You know, a lot of people will doubt you if you want to go on a creative route. And a lot of people will tell you not to do it. A lot of people will tell you to do something realistic. Your faith in yourself has to be so strong where you believe in yourself. You know that you're going to work harder than everyone else. And even though it's hard, and even though you might not have as much support from everyone else, you have to just believe that you are able to complete this. And you can't let other people's opinions dictate your path. Because if you listen to them, you just will never know your full potential. But with that being said, you have to put 110% into the path. If you have like any, you know, reservations, if you feel like any form of like, oh, like maybe I shouldn't do this, then don't do it, you know?
Yeah, that one came from the heart. I felt that one in my soul, in my ligaments. Thank you. Yeah, that's all we got. If you listened this far in the episode, I want you guys to drop the falafel emoji on our Friday post.
Let me see the falafel emoji all over,
which is going up ASAP.
Right.
I want to see some goddamn falafels in our comment section. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Thank you, Apple Podcast, for putting these faces on your front page. We appreciate it. We love you.
Thank you for listening. We love you. We'll see you next week. Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour.
Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.